Cowboys 49ers, who is the game bigger for this Sunday? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Both teams, Pearl, embattled for their own different reasons. For the Cowboys, it's because, well, the roster, they refuse to improve, I guess. And Jerry Jones is out here arguing with radio hosts. Troy Aikman is saying that the wide receivers are lazy. Then you had Jerry Jones back on radio saying that the plays that they're dialing up are not right, that this the basically throwing the coaching staff under the bus. Then Mike McCarthy has to come out and defend himself. I mean, just a casual Wednesday for the Dallas Cowboys. But even for them, this felt like a lot of war of words going on. And then for the 49ers, they don't have a healthy body. They're losing guys left and right. And we're going to be monitoring the injury report very closely to see who's actually suiting up for the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's bigger for the 49ers because the Cowboys can lose this game and still win the NFC East. I think 10-7 will get it done in the NFC East, where the Niners all of a sudden have this competition with the Seahawks and the Rams. So the Cowboys, they haven't played Washington yet. I know everyone loves Washington, but...
Well, Jaden Daniels is questionable, right, to even play against the Bears?
The Cowboys have done very well against their division foes in recent years. They've absolutely owned the Giants. They should have beaten the Eagles twice last year. I think they have a great chance. So if you could basically get all those free wins out of the NFC East, you don't need this win, right? San Francisco, on the other hand, this is a home game. This, like, they can't... They're in real competition here. I think the NFC West turns out to be a little harder than the NFC East. So to me, it's the Niners.
The Niners have more to gain here, or who's
more
the game
lose.
Bigger for? To me, I think it's actually the Cowboys. You've got to do something to try to salvage the season. And I'm not saying it's all vibes. It's not. They also have not looked great. And you're coming off a bye week, and if you again are going to go down against a team that has become your daddy, then what's the point? Then what was the point of paying Dak Prescott? What was the point of paying CeeDee Lamb? And the Cowboys and Jerry Jones, he doesn't want to answer questions now from radio hosts. What if they get shellacked by an undermanned 49ers team? What do you think the interviews are going to be like then, Jer?
I feel as
there's not enough Johnny Walker in the world to soften the blow on those questions.
I feel unrealistic.
What do you mean?
That they're going to be shellacked by this Niners team. That Niners offense... how is that? Play that out. Like, Jacob Cowling is going to go for three touchdowns? I just don't know.
No Deron Bland, it looks like, in this game. Michael Parsons not going to be in this game. Listen, to be fair, though, Michael Parsons was on the field for some of these games.
I mean,
they were still getting blown out.
You're right. The Cowboys have gotten blown out in a bunch of games this year.
The Cowboys can't stop the run. And the thing is about
who's running for the 49ers?
Well, anybody. I mean, Kyle Shanahan can dial up some runs for guys we'd never barely heard of before.
Yeah, okay.
If Jordan Mason can get rid of the fumbling issue, which, you know, cost them last week, I just think that this, for the Cowboys, you cannot get embarrassed in this game. To be fair, there should be no real moral victories in the NFL anyway. But if they look bad against the 49ers, you think people are jumping off the bandwagon now, like our pal Big Dave in Kentucky, who's now a Bengals fan and has left the Cowboys for dead. This is going to be even worse.
Well, the Cowboys got shellacked early in the season by the Niners last year and immediately turned it around and just went on a really dominant run. So I would say, listen, Kyle Shanahan's got your number. Just like there are certain coaches who have Kyle Shanahan's number.
That's true.
I would not panic if I was a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, but you know what? The thing about the Cowboys last year, we had also seen some really dominant performances from the Cowboys. Now, granted, it was against some lesser competition, but you had these big wins against the Giants, and I know it was a big win against the Jets, but so be it. You had this sort of, all right, well, we've seen them kind of blow teams out, even though they got blown out. What have we seen so far from the Cowboys? You know?
Well, listen, they're 3-3. Even if they lose this game, they have this, you know, the Niners, what's the Niners record?
They're three and four.
Yeah, if they go to 3-5, that's a crisis. 3-4 in the NFC East. Are the Cowboys panicking then for real? I know there's a lot of hype around that team, but yeah, I think until they play their NFC East foes, there is no reason to panic.
Oh my gosh. It's got to be panic city for the Cowboys.
They're still going to be. I don't think the Vegas odds move on that division at all if they lose this game.
They beat the Browns in week one. That now looks like a nothing win. The Browns are awful. They get blown out by the Saints. They lose to the Ravens in a game where the score looked way closer than the actual game because for some reason the Ravens kept blowing second half leads earlier in the season. That's over. The Giants, they barely won and probably should have lost. The Steelers barely won, could have lost that game. And they just got absolutely ripped apart by the Lions. You lose this game badly, the 49ers, which could absolutely happen. I think this is a new low, a new rock bottom, a new, I don't know what you want to call it. It's like the bottom of the well for the Cowboys.
Well, if that's the case, I'm betting on them after this to win the division because then things change.
Okay, but then it's Falcons at the Falcons.
Did you
Eagles,
see the Falcons
Texans.
Play last week? The Eagle? Oh, my God. If they can't beat this Eagles team, then there's definitely something wrong because they should be better than this Eagles team.
Are the Eagles the favorites on the road against Cincinnati this week? I believe they are a favorite, right? I got to double check this spread. I'm sorry. Cincinnati's a 3-point favorite. Apologies. Again, and I'm actually thinking about picking the Eagles in this game.
Dak on this Wikipedia page has ownership stake of the Eagles. Like he should, they should fix. This is what the Cowboys do. They beat bad teams and they get killed by the Niners. And they get killed by a team like the Lions. We should have seen that coming. I just think that do not judge the Cowboys on this game. Now, I do agree, like, if they can't beat the Niners this Sunday, then they're never beating the Niners ever in the history of the world. Because it's the weakest version we've seen since 2020 when they had all kinds of injuries.
Yeah, and it's still a 4.5-point favorite for the 49ers at home against the Cowboys. I mean...
it's at home. They're going to San Francisco... Okay, you're right. The sky will be falling if they lose this game. It shouldn't be because I'm not scared of Atlanta. I'm not scared of Philly. I definitely think till the Cowboys play the Commanders, I would not judge either of those teams.
Well, that's coming up soon. We'll see if Jaden Daniels may be fully healthy for that game. EJ, can you throw this up on a poll question, please? Who's this game bigger for, Cowboys or the 49ers? You can go and vote on that poll at Maggie and Pearl on X. We say his name and he calls. Big Dave is our pal in Kentucky, former Cowboy fan. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. McLovin, are you on drugs?
Yes. No, I'm not. What's up?
Look at that schedule and tell me how in the hell you see 10 wins for the Cowboys. You have lost your ever-loving mind.
So if they lose this game to San Francisco, they go to 3-4, right?
Right.
Yes.
So do the math. They have, because I think that the NFC East is way overrated right now. I think they're going to win their next game against the Giants. I do not think the Commanders are going to control that two-game series there. I think Cowboys could beat the Commanders.
I think that they'll beat the Giants. Because they just suck.
They'll definitely they'll either split or sweep the Eagles.
No.
Is it Saquon?
I disagree. I think they lose both of the Eagles. I think they lose both of the Commanders. I think they lose to Atlanta. I think they're staring at a 7-10 record. And just like I predicted last year, third place in the division. There's no way. It's not that they're just losing, McLovin. Did you not watch the Lions game?
Yeah, I mean, I give the Cowboys credit. If they're going to lose, they really lose. Save those points for later on.
Can't take them with you, Pearl.
Now, Micah Parsons, I'm not questioning his injury, but it looks like he's kind of pouting.
That is a concern. Yeah, that is a concern.
It is a concern.
I can't believe he's not back. But, Dave, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
After they got blown out by the Niners last year, everybody, I remember it. Everyone's like, Dak is terrible. He's not going to be a Cowboy next year. Did you see that turnaround coming last year?
Well, no. I'll give you credit for that, but this is different. Listen, man, I've been a Cowboys fan since I was big enough to watch a television set, and this is the worst that it's ever been. You have to admit that. I mean, I could see this thing totally melting down. I mean, I really could. You know, I've seen your list you guys talked for go. Let me tell you what. Here's what Jerry Jones creates. Do you know where my mind went? It wasn't like this game against the Niners. It wasn't, are they going to go 7-10 or, 8-9? It wasn't that. It was, who's going to be the next coaching, the ridiculous coaching hire that Jerry Jones helped with?
Pajama party. I mean, I can't imagine Belichick in the pajamas sleeping over at Jerry's house. But you know what's funny, Dave? It's hard to predict sometimes with Jerry Jones because his loyalty to coaches sometimes is just a little mind-boggling. But do you think Bill Belichick's in play if they move on from McCarthy?
Bill, I don't think, listen, last year I thought it would happen. I don't think Bill Belichick touches this. He looks to me like he's having a great time on TV. The guy's doing a tremendous job with Monday Night Football and all, you know, he's got all kinds of stuff going on. I don't think anybody, I don't think Bill Belichick touches this. I don't. I don't know what reputable coach that would be available.
Oh, I mean, Dave, I got it. I got you. Lincoln Riley, your favorite.
Oh, gosh.
That would be perfect. I could so see it. That would be perfect. Hey, that's great, McLovin. I take back everything I said. You guys have a great day.
Bye, Dave. Have a great weekend. Yeah, Lincoln Riley, that will fix everything.
Do you know the Cowboys beat the Steelers two games ago? Like, this is not, it's not dead. Even if they lose this game, they're not dead in the water. I tell you, it's basically the same team as last year that went 12-5.
I ask you, though, if there hadn't been that weird weather delay and if Russell Wilson had actually been playing and not Justin Fields. I mean, that was a 3-point game, Perloff. It wasn't like they stomped into Pittsburgh and had their way with the Steelers.
If Russell Wilson had been playing, we're already going there. You're right.
Yes, I am.
Russell Wilson, who
I said they should bench,
who threw a bunch of underthrown moon balls that George Pickens wrestled away. Like, we have no idea. First of all, Russell Wilson was hurt. Anyway, I just think like burying the Cowboys too early, because this is the NFC. It's the NFC East. They could make some noise here. Even if they lose this game, and they might win this game. I mean, the Niners, normally, if it was a full strength Niners, I would predict 42-10. But this, I mean, you've seen the Niners. I cannot see how they're going to generate enough offense with this receiving core, even if Debo plays, to blow anyone out right now.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get involved in the show. Is this a bigger game for the Cowboys, or is it a bigger game for the 49ers? Can I give you a little injury report here? So Kittle was limited yesterday. Jake Moody's still a no. He's not on IR,
is
he?
Oh, my God. Yeah, they have another.
The kicker.
They're down to their third kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, by the way, their special teams alone is terrible. Like, the Cowboys should really get an advantage there.
Debo Samuel, limited. Trent Williams, full participant. So there you go. Nick Bosa, limited. Conley, limited. Jordan Mason, limited. And of course, for the Cowboys, Deron Bland is a DNP. He's not going to play. Parsons was a did not play. That's not looking great. Same thing for, I'm sorry, Jordan Phillips was a full practice. Brandon Aubrey did not practice, but we all know why.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Civic duty. Jerry duty.
If this game is close, by the way, like, that kicker advantage is a real deal. The Niners have some serious problems in special teams.
No doubt. I mean, that's where the Cowboys clearly have the advantage.
Yeah, that's
the kicker
the one
might
thing.
Be the best in the league.
Yeah, and also the Niners' return coverage is so awful. It's kind of cost them two games. So we'll see. Maybe this is a much closer game than normal. Full-strength Niners have huge advantage, but this is not them.
Hey, can I throw something at
Hit
you?
Me.
So a lot of times, just take you behind the scenes, a little pull back the curtain of what happens here at the Maggie and Perloff Show. Essentially, we go to break, and Perloff starts telling me about the latest crime drama that he's currently watching on whatever streaming service exists.
Right, okay. Like everybody else in America.
Exactly. So he's catching me up on Menendez Brothers.
Yeah,
Bogus is big into this as well, and everyone's watching all these true crime documentaries.
Aaron Hernandez and all that. Yeah.
Exactly. So I kind of live these through you. I've got a great one for you.
Hit me.
We should sell this to Hollywood. We should write this. You're a great writer. You could write this screenplay. Are you ready for the elevator pitch? Cowboys kicker decides to serve his civic duty of serving on a jury.
Okay.
Okay? Felony strangulation case. Hey, this is just what Brandon Aubrey's actually doing in real life. This will be ripped from the headlines. Here's the Hollywood twist. Somehow it ends up being like a mob boss or something who's on trial.
Mm.
And Brandon Aubrey, the kicker, is on the jury. Somehow the mob gets to Aubrey, blackmails him, and forces him to start throwing games.
Wow.
And maybe specifically the Super Bowl or something like that. Depends how crazy you want to get. So this is my screenplay that we should send to Hollywood. Could you write that?
A couple questions.
Okay.
If you're going to blackmail him, isn't the point to get him to help you out on the jury process.
Well, that, but also maybe then so, it's like now they have a relationship and now they're like, oh, you got to start missing kicks.
Okay.
Because, you know, we've got money on the Cowboys or what have you, and it becomes this great scandal. That could be a good movie, right?
It's really good. It's really good. The kicker that turned. Yes.
Yeah.
This is great.
And it all came from a good place. Like, oh, I want to do my duty here. And then he gets wrapped up in the system.
Is Ryan Gosling still young enough to play Brandon Aubrey?
100%.
Okay.
CGI these days, I mean, we can make him 10 years younger.
He wasn't great as a football player, remember the Titans, but I think that he'd be good. Okay. Who's going to play Jerry? I think Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, definitely.
I don't know who
plays Mike McCarthy.
Who
Have
plays
anyone
Mike
that big in Hollywood?
Mike McCarthy. That's
John Goodman.
Kevin James. Already played Sean Payton.
That's true. I like John Goodman for a football coach, though. He was the football coach for Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah,
I think he might be a little old.
Yeah.
This is good. This is gold. Did you guys watch that?
No.
Come on.
I could do Dak Prescott. Here we go.
Definitely not watching now.
And playing Dak Prescott. McLovin. And listen,
Here we go.
To be fair, have any of us been in movies? Only Perloff. He's got a longer IMDb page than most professional actors.
I have 4 movies, one of which I was in for a microsecond.
Listen, you're still collecting checks.
And I had this 5th movie on my IMDb page. It never got filmed, but somehow it's on there. It's a documentary on Nintendo that they asked me to... Oh, no, it was on Tecmo Bowl, yeah. That they asked me, and it's still on my IMDb page.
Maybe it's just like got lost in the Hollywood shuffle.
No,
maybe
no.
It's going to come out someday.
I don't really know how I would. Yeah, they never filmed me. They're like, we're going to come shoot you in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they actually were like, you're going to fly out on this day. It was a big deal. That was going to be my big starring documentary role. But meanwhile, by the way, you're saying nice things. You've been in about 100 documentaries.
Yeah, but I wasn't actually playing reporter number 2 like you were in Hustle. I was just being myself in documentaries, just clipped off like what I was doing for my job.
I was always wondering, do you ever get paid for any of those?
No, I do not.
You should be. Because your voice is appearing on a for-profit movie. I'd say that to my buddy Peter Schrager, gets in all these documentaries too. You and Peter are in a million of them. Like, you should get compensated for that.
I think once it's out there, it's just sort of out there.
Yeah, I guess so. How many are you in?
A few. The Johnny Manziel doc, this documentary about a famous climber who had this crazy story. The guy was a mountain climber.
Yeah.
A free climber. It wasn't Free Solo, it was a different movie where he gets kidnapped by like people in Kazakhstan and has to escape, and he evades his captors. It's 100% true story, by pushing one of them off of a cliff and killing him.
Wow.
And he ends up writing a story about how he escaped and then had to be like in the wilderness.
How'd you get into this one?
He wrote a book and came to Sports Illustrated, and I did the interview with him.
Wait.
So I'm in the credits interviewing him about what happened.
Wasn't there a major documentary this year that you were in?
Johnny Manziel.
No, even after that. Was there another one after Johnny? I feel like you're short-sighted. You don't even remember. You're in so many of these.
I know. I'm sorry.
All right, we have to look this up.
I mean, I find out stuff about myself all the time, mostly on WikiFeet. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't even know I was in that photo with Beyonce and Colin Kaepernick, and I'm in the back. No clue.
Learn something new every day.
I remember being at that event. I just don't remember ever being in that photo. 855-212-4227. Probably because I wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
Just loitering in the background.
I remember people were upset because your feet were blocking Beyonce. The shadow of your feet. Could see.
Yeah. It's hard when you're also blocking out Colin Kaepernick and J.J. Watt. That's when you know your feet are gigantic. Anyway, 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do, including our poll question. Who is this game bigger for, the Cowboys or the 49ers? We also have plenty of college football for you this weekend, and the World Series gets started tonight. It's Maggie Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. We're just discussing our Halloween costumes.
Oh, I wish the mic had been on for that. Darn it.
There's a movie recently, I think it was, it was Mean Girls.
Yes.
Which I've seen the original version, then there was a play, then they did a movie about the play, and they were talking about the different options for high school girls on
Halloween. Yeah.
So you could be either a sexy nurse or a sexy, everything had sexy in front of it.
It's a mouse, yeah. I think it's a mouse or a cat.
So are you, We all have our costumes for next week. Are you going to dress up as a sexy something? What's
I left sexy something long behind. No, I'm doing a real costume this time. No, we were talking about because you're nervous, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, that your teenage daughter is getting her Halloween costume, and it's a little... fewer clothes.
There's not a lot of material.
And Bogus said, well, she learned it from you. Because your Halloween costumes have been very skimpy.
Well, that's actually a new development. For some reason.
Just for Bogus.
It's really just for Bogus. You actually dropped a hint on social media.
I did. Yeah. Yes. The fake cigarettes arrived.
So I have a thought on who it could be.
Okay.
But I don't know that you would do this. I don't think anyone. Marge Schott?
Definitely not me, Marsha.
Not
She's
sexy.
She's a Nazi. I would never do that.
I can't think of any. Dave Parker? Who smokes?
Marshot. I'm going to go as a Nazi for Halloween.
I think you're doing something in sports. Who smokes in sports? Marshot, Dave Parker, and I can't think
Jim Leland? Are you going sexy Jim Leland?
Oh, Jim Leland.
Sexy Jim Leland. I'm busted. You guys got me.
Yeah, but Jim Leland is a good
one. It's a real
one.
Mind bender. Sexy Jim Leland behind the dugout.
There was a Sports Illustrated cover with Dick Allen way back in the day. I can't think of who smokes in the sports world.
Len Dawson, Chiefs quarterback?
I could have been the recreation of that famous photo of Len Dawson
that
smoking.
That would be awesome.
It would be cool. I don't
but
have
But how do
that.
You do that as a costume? Do you just like carry a stool around and sit on it?
With my pads and everything?
Right, like
Len Dawson's uniform?
Who else smokes?
Slick back hair?
You should be able to figure
sexy Len Dawson.
Sexy Jim Leland. I can't even... In what wormhole do you have to go down to get to that?
How could Maggie pull off a sexy Jim Leland?
He's the least sexy person alive. Great manager. Oh my goodness.
I'm at a total loss. Unless you're a non-sports
person. It's a non-sports person.
And I already guessed... The first thing that came to my mind, then I was wrong.
What do you do with a non-sports person?
Well, I'm doing Halloween. Okay. I did Deion Sanders last year. I'm taking a break this year.
All right. Okay.
Is everyone else doing sports? Last year, EJ was the guy from All That.
Pierre Escargot.
Yeah, exactly. That guy. Keenan Thompson.
Keenan.
Bogus, you have a costume this year.
I have a costume. It has a sports twist, but it is not by nature sports.
Okay.
Is yours sports?
Yeah, I always go some sports. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be sports adjacent at least. Like, I'm not going to be like a werewolf or something. I don't know. Because
they wear clothes.
Sexy werewolf.
Oh, actually, I could be
naked werewolf.
I could be Teen Wolf because he was a basketball player.
Short shorts. There you go.
I know, but how do you get all the fur on?
Yeah, no, trust me. You need a big Hollywood department to be Teen Wolf. Also, how am I going to jump like that?
It's impossible. You're
talking
wolf.
About PEDs, by the way.
Yeah. Where's the wolf? Are you doing a sports thing, EJ?
I haven't on the costume yet. I got to figure this out. I'm a little nervous.
You should
get
be.
On it, bud.
Yeah, I know.
Less than a week away. Ryan, you dressing up this year?
I am.
Or are
I'm
you
not,
something
not going in depth. No sports.
No sports. Got it. I feel like Ryan would be the, I don't know, lead singer of Fred Van Vliet. Greta Van Vliet. Sorry.
I don't have the glorious locks like that.
Okay, 855-212-4227. That would have been amazing if I was sexy Jim Leland, but not.
Next year.
Now Perloff is nervous because your daughter's hanging out with girls who are older than her.
Oh,
she's
my gosh.
She's a freshman and hanging out with juniors. That means she's very cool.
Yes.
But we knew that about Lucy.
Yeah, she asked if she could go to a Halloween party about a month ago. It turns out she's not going to that. I'm like, I used to go to Halloween parties when I was in high school and we would drink. I hope nobody in my family is listening to this. This is not for public consumption.
No.
But my daughter's very well behaved. Bogus,
so
you're going to hit that stage soon, too.
Yeah, my daughter's in eighth grade. I don't need her hanging out with juniors a year from now.
See, this is different because Perloff's daughter's growing up in New York City, but you had to hang out with the juniors as freshmen because they had cars. You had to make friends with an upperclassman when you're a lowerclassman or an underclassman because you need to get around for most people
home.
In America.
I'll drive you to the library and pick you up when you're done.
Of course, in your dreams, guys.
It's so funny because at the stage that you are as a parent, there's so much work and it's exhausting. You have a 5-year-old.
Yep.
To entertain
them all the time.
And then I'm like, you get through that. You're like, this is so easy to be a parent. And then boom.
High school.
puberty. It's just like the movie Inside Out is basically a documentary. If you've seen that movie on Disney, Inside Out 2, I'm like, oh, exactly. I guess this happens to everybody. I'm a huge fan of those movies.
Bogish has headlines for us. I think it's very relatable. A lot of dads out there worried about their kids and moms.
Unfortunately, for
we should worry about Bogish too, because he is going to be very close to a man who's wearing very short shorts in a few days.
I don't feel well.
Suddenly you feel like something's coming on.
I'm going to be off next week. Unfortunately for the Vikings, the Rams got healthy for Thursday night football in L.A.
Here comes Kupp in motion to balance it out 2x2. Stafford has a snap. Four-man rush. Pressure in his face. Goes out the left side. Ducks the rush. Flips to the end zone. Caught! Cooper Kupp from Matthew Stafford! A primetime edition of Nine and Dime.
That's J.B. Long on Rams Radio. We knew Cooper Kupp was coming back last night from his ankle injury. We didn't know Puka Nacua would be riding shotgun. 7 catches, 106 yards for him in his first game since spraining a knee in week one. Their head coach, Sean McVay.
I thought it was great, just a boost for our team to be able to get two experienced guys that were ready to go. They were chomping at the bit, but I thought Matthew had a look in his eye where he was going to be ready to go, and it's like, hey, you're coming with me.
Stafford, 4 touchdown passes in this 30-20 victory. Second win in 5 days after a 1-4 start for the Rams. The Vikings lose for the second time in 5 days, and left tackle Christian Darrisaw may have suffered a serious knee injury just before halftime. On night 3 of the NBA season, the T-Wolves got a 117-115 win in Sacramento on Anthony Edwards' free throws with 2.4 seconds left. The Nuggets took a 102-87 home loss from the Thunder, and the Mavericks outscored the Spurs 120-109. Wemby just 5 points, 5 of 18 shooting to start his sophomore season.
That Wembusyama?
Math doesn't make sense. He definitely was 5 of 18, which means he scored more than 5 points. But either way, he didn't play well.
Yeah.
Forgive my missed my bad sentence. He didn't play well.
Yeah, because in the NBA, you get 2 points for a basket, correct?
I just learned that. So we had at least 10.
Man, when you were doing all those Nets games, that must have been a real surprise.
Well, I only did 2, and I had 0 this year, so I think there's the
dots
to connect. Injury news from the NBA. Pacers center James Wiseman did rupture an Achilles in their opener with Detroit. And just horrible, horrible news this morning from college basketball. South Florida men's coach Amir Abdur-Rahim passed away yesterday, just 43 years old, from complications of a medical procedure in a Tampa hospital. Abdur-Rahim led the Bulls to one of the biggest turnarounds last season, 25 wins, the AAC regular season title, and the first top 25 ranking in program history. He is the younger brother of former NBA player and current G League president Sharif Abdur-Rahim. College football last night. Now, number 19 Pitt beat Syracuse 41-13, reaching 7-0 for the first time in 42 seasons. The World Series begins tonight in L.A. Gerrit Cole starts for the Yankees. Jack Flaherty throws the first pitch for the Dodgers at 5:08 Pacific. And last night in Utah, the Avalanche won their 4th game in a row behind the first career goal from a man with one name.
Middlestat below the goal line. McKinnon again at the slot. And he shoots and he scores! Con Sonar, Crazy Ivan, his first career NHL goal. Comes on the power play and Ivan makes memories in Salt Lake City.
Wait, we're not kidding.
What?
His name is Ivan.
What country is he from?
Czech Republic.
Okay. Maybe that happens there.
Now, I went to high school with a guy whose name was Isaac. And he had a middle initial, I think it was a G. I don't know how this happens. I don't know if this is like a cultural thing where
but it has to be.
Ivan plays hockey for
the
Avalanche.
They call him Crazy Ivan?
I guess they do.
That should have been my Halloween costume. I'm Crazy Ivan.
Crazy Ivan.
Oh, that's an awesome name.
I would go Ivan squared.
I squared.
What was that? There was some other name in there, too.
He said Cone Sonar.
Yeah, what was that about?
Is that Spanish? Like with sonar? I don't know what that meant. That's all new to me. But Ivan is the guy. The lead. Let's focus on that. The guy's name is Ivan.
Oh, that's cool. Well, you said one name. I thought it was going to be like a soccer player, like Neymar.
Yeah, I wrote that sentence about 18 times in my head. I couldn't figure out the right way to describe it. And then I gave up and just went with that. So if it didn't work, my apologies. But I just thought you'd want to know that a gentleman named Ivan is currently playing.
Yeah, no, he's already my favorite player in the entire NHL. This is awesome.
I love that. I love it.
Crazy Ivan?
Crazy Ivan.
If there was a Connor, what would you do?
Connor.
He'd lose it.
He'd be the number one pick, and he'd be awesome. All the Connor-ness.
You could be like Succession, the con heads.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Connor Bedard, Connor McDavid. Is there any other Connors?
I'm sure there are.
I mean, my favorite is that there's two linemen named Connor McGovern in the NFL. That's another thing.
They both stink.
Well, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, they both hang on for a long time.
Yeah. I know.
Ivan. There's only one Ivan. Crazy Ivan.
You probably can't go with Ivan.
He's
trying
terrible. To check him out. Probably smoked.
He did some really bad thing. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Ivan sounds like a smoker. Is that what you're about to say?
You're saying it's too soon to be Ivan the Terrible?
Well, I don't even know when Ivan the Terrible was reigning. Like the 1500s
or something? He died in 1584. Okay, good.
Surprised I even got the first two numbers of that right.
Was Ivan the Terrible, was he called Ivan the Terrible during his life, or that was afterward?
I think he would add a lot of guts to call him Ivan the Terrible to his face. I think it was that bad.
Yeah.
Imagine how terrible you had to be the Terrible back in those days, the 1500s.
Maybe it was like in the translation, Ivan the Terrible was cool.
Oh, like he's so bad?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Thank you for Ivan.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
Thanks, Bogus.
Hey, you could actually do this. Stewart. Works first name, last name.
Yes, it is.
Couldn't go.
Still don't know EJ's middle name.
The Russian word for terrible, by the way, is a compliment, means inspiring fear, terror, danger, or powerful. So he was psyched about being Ivan the Terrible.
Oh, so it was a compliment. So we could give him Ivan the Terrible.
Right. Like last night, it was Jared versus the Terrible. He was inspiring fear amongst the Vikings.
Into the heart of Sam Darnold. I get it. 855-212-4227. Okay.
Yeah, that would. After you do an Ivan headline, you're done, Bogus. There's nothing that can top that. That was amazing.
No, I know.
It's funny. I think we've all know people named John Johnson.
Yeah.
There's someone in my family, Ben Bennett.
Well, what are you doing as a parent?
Benjamin Bennett, I thought was kind of cool.
No.
Really?
No.
I see what you're saying. Ben Bennett.
It's really memorable. You're not going to forget that.
And it seems less lazy than John Johnson or like Will Williams.
Yeah.
Two first names sucks. Like having two first names.
Yeah, but
you
if your
are
last
so
name
wrong
if
this.
Your last name is already like, William.
What's wrong with Matt Ryan?
It's gonna you're end up gonna have two first
names.
Nah.
Like you can't go like same first letter like John Johnson. It has to be two different first name first letters.
Mm. What
Matt
about
Ryan, what about Jim Johnson?
Same J. Can't go J. Can't match the first letter.
No alliteration at all in names.
No, because that's boring and it's dumb.
Wow.
What about married couples who have the same first name? What do you think of that, Ryan?
Oh,
Botcher?
Like Taylor. Was it Taylor?
Taylor Lautner.
Yeah. Taylor Lautner.
Can I blow your mind for a second?
Yeah.
Peter Schwartz, our beloved Peter Schwartz.
His wife's name is Peter?
No, but her last name was already Schwartz.
I've seen that before.
Yeah.
That's bad.
I've seen that. I think it's great. You don't have to change your... Like for a woman, this saves a lot of time.
Until you find out your second cousin's once removed.
Wait a minute, I don't think so. Schwartz is enough of a it's a ubiquitous enough name.
Oh boy,
Takiya.
I don't think you have to. What is it? What's the service where you do the
22
family
and me.
Tree? Yeah, they're 23andMe. Yeah. Oh, Terry's in Houston has a thought on Ivan.
Yeah, so I think Ivan comes from actually the movie, or Crazy Ivan comes from the movie Hunt for Red October, when the Russian sub would do this maneuver called a Crazy Ivan, and you know the officers' names in the sub would be Cone and Sonar, you know the names of the American Navy officers.
Oh,
you know,
one,
it's all there. It's all making sense
so
now.
So it's kind of a crazy, you know,
it's a pull. Here. But we should all know Hunt for Red October. We should probably have that as our shorthand. It's a great movie. Haven't seen it in a long time.
It's a good movie.
Terry, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Sean Connery, with Alec Baldwin.
Sean Connery with his Scottish accent playing a Russian.
Yeah. Don't ask questions. Don't
close
ask questions.
Enough.
This is
right hemisphere.
It's in the neighborhood. It's the worst one is Kevin Costner was in a movie called Robin Hood, and everyone's got a British accent but him. And he's Robin Hood. Just like, don't do it, Kevin. It's going to be hard to pull off.
This is insane.
What?
I think he's right.
No, he is definitely right.
That is such a deep pull for an announcer of a hockey game to come up with. That's
in 2024.
Great.
The Avalanche guy is very good at what he does.
Hunt for Red October came out in 1990. It's not the most quoted movie, I don't think.
Everybody's kind of seen it, though. It's like it was on cable for years.
Definitely. You've seen it, but I don't remember it being very quotable. It's not like Caddyshack or something from 1980, but everyone knows, you know, so I got that going for me, which is nice, or something like that.
Yeah. All right.
Ivan. Maggie, going to break. How about that? Who are you rooting for in the World Series? We get to that next. As Russian as Drago. No. That's a clip from the movie The Hunt for Red October, which the hockey announcers were using yesterday, dropping some Red October clips. But Sean Connery may have one of the worst Russian accents we've ever heard.
I would love to hear the discussion. Should we do a Russian accent? And Sean's like, nope, I'm just going to do my thing.
Who's the worst accent in the history of a movie? Because you're right. Sometimes it's better just not to go for it. Like, Jack Nicholson is one of the all-time great actors we have. But his Boston accent in The Departed may be one of the worst to ever be put on screen.
We used to make fun of Dan Patrick Show a lot of John Malkovich's Russian accent and Rounders.
Yep.
Give the man his money.
Teddy KGB.
Yeah, but I mean, he's John Malkovich. That guy is one of the great actors of all time. I'm not sure. By the way, Nicholson, like, he was doing that on purpose, right?
No, I think he was playing a Boston gangster.
Okay.
He's doing Scorsese.
No, I know what you
can't
mean.
Be doing, you know, some kind of comedy up there.
Yeah, is there another one? Those are good.
I got to think
about
it.
Because Connery, like, he wasn't even trying to do a Russian accent, so you can't put him in the same thing.
Right. There was just no attempt.
Yeah.
There we go. So for the hockey announcers out there, please keep the 1990s war movies coming. We'll take it. 855-212-4227. All right,
technically, that was a Cold War.
Cold War movie, pardon me, came out in 1990.
Thank God, because it could have escalated easily if Sean Connery didn't defect.
We really would have been in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Simple question with a not simple answer. Who are you rooting for in this World Series? We've talked about how iconic it is to have the Yankees and the Dodgers facing each other yet again. This has been some of the great series in history with two of the franchises that are marquee crown jewel franchises in our country. But who are you rooting for, Perloff?
Well, as a professional, I'm, of course, going to remain objective. But if I wasn't professional, I think I would go with the Dodgers because of Shohei. And I'll tell you why. Shohei feels like history. I feel like we're watching Mickey Mantle in his prime. Now, Judge is close to that as well. But for me, Shohei is just a little more unique. I feel like he's going to end up winning 8 MVPs. Can you imagine? It feels like we're watching a 1950s Yogi Berra Yankees team, like real history unfolding in front of our eyes. And to me, the singular player is Ohtani a little bit more than Judge. So that's why it's really the Shohei factor.
But I ask you, what is Ohtani doing now that's more impressive than Aaron Judge? Like, he's not 50, pitching.
50.
Well, no, I know, but he's impressive as a hitter. But the real thing about Ohtani, there's a lot of great hitters in Major League Baseball.
There's no one like Ohtani.
But here's the thing. Without him pitching, I'm not saying he becomes like any other guy. Believe me, I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. I know how special he is. But he just becomes another great hitter. What's better than him to Barry Bonds, who played in a World Series?
But Bonds would have been great. That would have been an all-timer if it didn't look like he was cheating.
Okay, but there's been great sluggers. My point is there's been great sluggers and great hitters throughout the history of World Series. I think without Ohtani, pitching, to me, takes a little of the mystique away. He's still a great hitter, but Aaron Judge is a great hitter. Giancarlo Stanton is a great postseason hitter. Juan Soto has already won a World Series. He's a great hitter. There's a lot. Freddie Freeman's been a great hitter in the postseason. Mookie Betts is a great postseason hitter. To me, it doesn't make it as special. I can't say I'm necessarily rooting for the Yankees. It's hard for me to root for the Dodgers because I already root for a National League team in the Mets, and the Dodgers obviously took care of my Mets. But I think the Yankees, there's something about them being the villains that I kind of like if they win again. You know, the Dodgers are never going to be the villain, I guess, unless you're a San Francisco Giant fan and you've got a big rivalry there, or a Padre fan. I think that what's cool about sports sometimes is you got teams that you love and teams you love to hate. And the Yankees are, at one point, were the evil empire, the hateable, the murderer's row. You go through different eras of Yankee baseball, and you loved them or you hated them. And I'd love to get back to that a little, where the Yankees are the hated Yankees, because I think it's good for sports when you have a villain.
You're never going to get that without George Steinbrenner. I mean, I think they're pretty boring, to be honest. They haven't. You look at them as a franchise. Have they really been that wild? I mean, you're talking about a guy who fired a manager, brought him back five times or something, who couldn't get along with his star. Like, that's what made, that's what gave the Yankees their special sauce. I mean, now they're just a, they're the East Coast Dodgers.
They're a corporation for sure. But the fact that they did make the trade for Soto, the fact that, you know, this was, if they pay Soto, this is the Yankees, quote unquote, acting like the Yankees.
Yeah, but we don't even know if they're going to get Soto. That's the funny thing. Back in the day, they probably would have. Now it just feels like they're just another team that may or may not get him. And the other, I judge Stanton Soto is, should be historic, but for some reason, I don't feel like they capture the imagination of young fans the way Shohei does. Maybe that's just me. I think, like, Shohei, and I disagree with your characterization, like, I think Shohei, if he stays healthy, is going to really go on a run here. I just think he's so big, he's so fast, he's so unique. And the other thing, too, let's face it, Judge has been terrible in the postseason. But with runners in scoring position, he's been awful, where Shohei is having an all-time runners in scoring position postseason.
Yeah, just can't hit, ironically, when no one's on base.
Yeah, but except in his last game, I think he let off.
He's gotten out of that.
So it just feels like, I don't know why, I feel like there's a difference between the two. And maybe it's because he's Japanese, he's a foreign player. Maybe it's because he had that scandal with his interpreter. Maybe it's because he's a lefty. He's certainly, the speed is a different thing. Like, he's just so unique. He's so much different than anyone we've ever seen.
855-212-4227. EJ, if we could throw that up on X at Maggie and Pearl, who are you rooting for in the series, the Yankees or the Dodgers? I can't say, I just want the Yankees to get back to it. And there are some things that, if you follow the Yankees very closely, they still have done things that would make them like, oh, those Yankees.
Like
they lost out on Ohtani, so they traded for Giancarlo Stanton. You know, it was like they had a reactionary thing where Ohtani did not want to come to the West Coast, to the East Coast. The Yankees didn't know that until very late in the process. They were courting him. They were really trying to get him to come. And little did they know, they never actually had a shot at him. And they felt so burned by it that they actually traded for Giancarlo Stanton. And Stanton ended up being kind of a bit of a disaster in the beginning, booed all the time by the Yankee fans. He was sort of, became a bit of a symbol of Yankee excess and a guy who couldn't stay healthy and live up to the hype.
I got to tell you what I was.
Garrett Cole's the highest contract ever for a free agent pitcher. I mean, the Yankees still do things that make them classic Yankees.
I would love to see the Dodgers get Juan Soto next year. I would laugh so hard. If you go Shohei, Mookie, Freddie Freeman, and then get Juan Soto on top of that, then, but nobody cares when the Dodgers do it. It's like, it's different.
Also, didn't want to defer all that money with the Nationals. Do you think he'd defer $600 million like Shohei did with the Dodgers?
They already have it all deferred on Shohei, so they can afford to pay him. There's been multiple. There's a report that they're out on him, then there's a report that they're in on him. So we'll see. Because I feel like once the Dodgers get involved in a free agent, unless that little run with the Padres, I feel like they get whoever they want. Mookie's a factor, too. Mookie is the most likable player in the sport. And I will not accept any other answer from you, Ryan Botcher, on that.
No,
Mookie is, when Mookie's mic'd up or something, like, he's awesome.
He is my pick for World Series MVP. You picked who? Stanton?
Oh,
we did this the other day.
Yeah. Did I go Stanton or Soto? One of those two.
You don't get both.
Soto, right? Didn't you say he was going to be MVP and leave?
Yeah, I think I said Soto.
Sounds like something Perloff would say.
And by the way, if I was going to pick a Dodger, there's clearly a front runner there.
Well, I went with Mookie because it's better value.
Yeah, but you got to go Kiki Hernandez. I mean, if there's anybody who's going to... We have two of the greatest players of all time, Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, and, like, the guy I'm watching is with those weird glasses and Kiki Hernandez. Right? Like, isn't he the... Every postseason is like, oh, wow, this guy. It's going to be... that's so funny about this. We have these big stars. It's going to be the role players that determine the winner. You know that, Maggie.
Well, it is baseball, Susan. last night... an all-time bad call. But did it impact the outcome at all? We'll get to that next. Maggie and Perloff.